Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Wednesday as we help you get over the weekend, or I should say over the hump and towards the weekend. We're not getting over any weekends around here. Coming up, plenty to do. Why, even in a loss, the College of Charleston were big winners last night. Plus, the latest on the college football playoff rankings. Not a whole lot changed last night, and we get another week closer to the verdict. What's the better job, South Carolina or Virginia Tech? Plus, home field advantage has returned, or I guess I should say the fans are affecting football once again, but not in the way you would think. We'll talk some golf with Jeremy Schilling. Later on, we'll catch up with a couple of different high school football coaches who are getting ready to try to run the table, and a whole lot more over the next few hours. You can join the conversation throughout the afternoon, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston, via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page and there you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted right there, or you can even take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Wednesday, Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, this Kimmel ride is not too bad. How about you?
Yeah, not bad. Now, programming note, we won't be on the air tomorrow. At least I won't. Joe will probably be working here behind the scenes you may hear his voice tomorrow during the radiothon for Bobby, who will be on the air 12 hours tomorrow to help benefit the Ronald McDonald House, which is a great thing that he does every year this time of year as part of the FanTalk Families campaign and the radiothon tomorrow. So I'll probably swing by, and you may hear me on the air at some point with Bobby. I'll go say hello down there. But we won't have a Morrow Midday Show for more important things tomorrow, and then we'll return with a Football Friday, of course, on Friday.
Which begs a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we do the weekly wrestling report today or Friday? Or do we get some people to write out some checks and say, we'll just do it on Thursday with Bobby?
Well, here's the perfect plan. This is how you'll make all the money you need tomorrow. Try to do the wrestling report tomorrow, and then people have to donate to stop the wrestling report. Once you get to a certain number of dollars, I'll tell you what, those checks will come flying in so quickly that you'll make all the money you need to if you do it that way tomorrow during the radiothon.
Might make more money the other way around, because I know a lot of people like to hear Bobby get bent out of shape when I bring up such a subject.
Okay, so that's fair. You could take joy in the consternation. I think you get a lot of donations right away to put an end to it. Just like I said, for me, the service I could provide is that people will have you pay, like celebrities or radio hosts elsewhere, to show up at like their Super Bowl party. I'll do the opposite. You pay me to stay away. And that's how we could raise money on this show for certain donations.
Here's another idea.
Yeah.
Okay, we keep talking about having the wrestling match between Bobby and Super Dave.
Yes. That should happen. That's what we should have done.
Yeah.
That should go on tomorrow to help raise money.
And, of course, since we can't put it on tomorrow on such short notice,
no.
We could at least have Super Dave call in and they could do some verbal jousting.
Oh, well,
provide some entertainment during
the
day.
Sure. Sounds like any other day. We'll see. Super Dave's got 12 hours. You could check in with Super Dave multiple times throughout the 12 hours if you wish. It's a good cause. It's a great cause. And it's something that, as I always say, I'm not even affiliated with. I'm just affiliated by proxy, by just being in this building and proud to at least just be in the same building as Bobby does all this. It's great for the FanTalk families, for the families over there at the Ronald McDonald House. So we will get to all that tomorrow. Bobby will. I'll swing by at some point, and we'll return for some sort of regular Football Friday on the air Friday heading into the weekend. So there you go. Before we dive into everything, we usually don't take calls in the opening segment, but it's already been a bit of an unusual start here on a Wednesday. And since we're not on the air tomorrow, I got to be honest, this feels a little bit like a Friday already. And you know you're a little bit looser on a Friday. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. Before we dive into everything like Pat Kelsey and the college football playoff rankings, let's first go to the phones. Birdman John is with us. Birdman John, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Luke. Always a good show. I had a question. You know, I've been wanting to ask you for a while.
Yeah.
You know, on the intro, when you come into the show, it was funny. You know, I've always thought that was Led Zeppelin that played that song. And I had a buddy on Facebook that sent me, a text or whatever you want to call it. But he said, you need to hear this new band. And, you know, I don't know the name of the band right off the top of my head, but they're really great. They sound just like Led Zeppelin. You know what I'm talking about? The intro you have for the song?
Yeah, Greta Van Fleet is the band.
Yeah, right, yeah. But my question is, you know, right before that, you have a lady talking, and I know you're a real parent person. That's not your mom, is it? And what does she say?
No, it is not my mom. Actually, Joe, can you grab that? Appreciate it, Birdman John. Can you grab the intro? And because I hear it every day. I put it together. I don't remember. I think it's just the normal noises in here. Yeah, no, that's actually, that is not my mother. My mother has never been used on the air during the Morrow Midday Show. That's Mike Campbell. Mike Campbell's the guitarist from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. That's his wife. And that was when they were recording a song. If you listen to the show, you know I'm a big Tom Petty guy. He was recording a demo way back when in the house. And she said that it got recorded on the tape. She was saying that because, I don't know, he was playing too loud or something. She was talking about whatever he was recording. Anyways, they used that on the album, and I think it leads into, I should know. Even the Losers, I believe, on Damn the Torpedoes album. That's where that's from. So anyways, long story short. But yeah, that's where that comes from. And she says it's just the normal noises in here. And that's how they lead into, I think it's Even the Losers. I have to go back and listen to the album on Damn the Torpedoes. So that's what that is. That is not my mother. That is Mike Campbell's wife from the 70s. Guitarist of Tom Petty. Now he's the guitarist in Fleetwood Mac. So there you go. And then I don't know what else we have in that intro. But the song is Greta Van Fleet. And I've been asked numerous times before. People have reached out to the show and said, what's that Led Zeppelin song? I never heard that song before. And that's what I first thought when I first heard that song. I thought it was a Led Zeppelin song, like a B-side or a song they never released on an album when I first heard it. And I thought, this is great. And then I looked it up, and it's this new band, these bunch of young kids from Detroit, Greta Van Fleet. They have a couple of good songs. They claim, because everybody says this about them, that they were more inspired. I think he said Alice Cooper. Their inspiration was Alice Cooper. And they said, no, we don't even like Led Zeppelin. We don't sound like Led Zeppelin. But if you listen to a bunch of their songs, they sound just like Led Zeppelin, which I guess is a good thing. You could sound like a lot worse people. So that it's a good song. It's called Highway Tune. It's been the open to the show. And I've heard other people now use it. But, we're trendsetters around here. Per usual, we set the trends. We make and the world takes. That's what happens here on the Morrow Midday Show.
Everyone else are just pretenders.
That's right. The Morrow Midday Show creates and the world takes. Let me start with this. All right, let's dive in because we got a lot to get to. Sometimes you can win and actually lose. And sometimes you can lose and actually win, right? And in sports, we don't really buy into that philosophy a whole lot with moral victories. You either win or you lose. Go by the standings. This team has more wins. That's what matters. But sometimes, just in life in general, you can win and still lose at the same time. You ever get into an argument with a spouse or even like a family member and you go a little too far just to win the argument and you say something you probably shouldn't? Sure, you won the argument. Right, you may have won the battle, but you lost the war. You won the argument, but you're probably going to have to sleep on the couch. You said something that you knew was going to win that argument. They would have no comeback for it, but you also probably can't come back from it either. You know, and you wonder afterwards, like, I won the argument, but was it really worth it? You won, but you kind of lost. On the flip side, you can win while actually losing. The College of Charleston lost last night to UNC. I think they came out victorious. For one, they covered the spread, so they did better than anticipated. They hung in there. They led for about three quarters of the game. But more than that, it was about the environment. That game was on CBS Sports Network, 8:30 tip. Not a ton of competition. On a Tuesday night, second largest crowd in program history last night. And here was Pat Kelsey. He knows what he's doing. Right? He's always recruiting. Here was Pat Kelsey at halftime when he was asked about the game. And notice he answers the question, but at first blows it off to mention the environment, and he does it for a reason. Here is the coach of College of Charleston at halftime last night.
Gary Parrish down below. Gary?
Pat, you told us this afternoon you guys were going to come out, play the way you play, get up and down the court, get after it. How satisfied are you with the way this first half went?
Yeah, we're playing hard, so are they. How about this atmosphere? How about this atmosphere, man? So much fun. Got to make a few adjustments. Got to get back in transition. They're going to keep coming at you. We're right there.
What has to happen in these final 20 minutes for you to get out of here with a win and probably blow the roof off this play?
We got to do what we do. We got to be elite in transition both ways. We got to get back. We got to keep pushing it down their throat and be an elite rebounding team, which we are. It's tough because they're Noah's Ark, man. They got two of everything. They're stinking huge, Gary.
Thanks, Pat.
Now, he's great, right? How can you not like Pat Kelsey and the energy he brings? But right off the bat, he talks about the environment, the crowd. Yesterday, right, he sent out that video on Twitter that we played here on the show talking about the environment, the crowd. Other people have compared it to Kentucky. He knows what he's doing. This is all a recruiting pitch. You hear this coach talking about this environment, how great it is. They say it's just as good. It's Kentucky of the mid-majors, right? And as you watch last night, over 5,000 fans going crazy. You get him at halftime. You ask him about the game. He gives you a quick little answer, and then he dives into, how great is this atmosphere? Oh, you got to be here. This is so much fun. And if you're at home sitting there watching that team as they, at the time, led UNC, and you watch that crazy environment, and you hear the coach talking about it, and now they have a cool name. It's called the Six, and people are coming out. Right? It's a two-hour infomercial. It's a sales pitch. That even in the loss last night, that was a win for the College of Charleston in a number of different ways. The number one win was what I just mentioned. That was a recruiting pitch for 2 hours. They're a fun team. He plays a lot of guys, so you could go to that program, and even if you're the eighth guy, you're going to play 20 minutes. They play a fun style up and down the floor. Kids love to run and gun, and that's what the College of Charleston does. They shoot. They shot 33s last night. They played at the second fastest pace last night of any team last night in college basketball. It's what they do. They get up and down the floor. They shoot a bunch of threes. That's fun for kids. And, by the way, they led for the majority of the game against UNC, a top 20 team, who they also had come to their building and put together a great atmosphere. It's one big recruiting pitch. That was a win last night for the Cougars, even though they lost by 11. Which takes me to the second way that's a victory, because they only lost by 11. So now you go into that locker room afterwards. If you're Pat Kelsey, you're incredibly proud of your team. You got a lousy performance from your star player. You still led for the majority of the game, hung in there to the very end, and lost by only 11 to the number 18 team in the country. This is a first-year coach who had, what, like three returnees from last year? It's a new team. It's a new roster. They're piecing it all together. First-year head coach at a new program. They start off 3-0 by winning three games in 3 days. NBA teams don't even do that. The NBA players complain about playing 3 days in a row. It doesn't happen anymore. We're so impressed when teams run through conference tournaments because you have to win day after day after day. College of Charleston started the year, granted, no travel, all at home, but still, you came out day after day after day. You win three straight in 3 straight days. You get a 2-day layoff. You come back and you play UNC, and you battle them to the very end. And if you're Pat Kelsey, you can sell that to your locker room. You know, like, hey, we're just building. We're just getting started here. And yet already we hung in there at UNC tonight. We won our first 3 games. You know, if we did a couple of things better, we'd probably win that game. They didn't shoot it all that well last night. Meeks didn't play well. He was 2 out of 14. All right, we get a little more contributions. We make a few more shots. Don't turn it over so much. They did take care of the basketball pretty well. But you get the idea. And Underwood had 5 turnovers last night. We do a couple of things here or there. Different game. And so that's big for the program. It was big last night for the future of the program in recruiting, and it was big last night for the current state of the program in that you go into that locker room afterwards and you can sell that to your team that, hey, we got something special here. We're 3-0, and then our first loss is only by 11 to the number 18 team in the country when we led for the majority of that game.
This could also be a selling point to the NCAA selection committee come tournament time if both of them have successful seasons. This could say the CSC belongs in the field of or in the big dance.
Yeah, it helped. You know, it's a good loss, as they say, if there's such a thing. Again, as I open up the show saying, you can win and still lose. You can lose and still win. That's an all-around win last night for the Cougars. If you actually win the game, now that's big time. That happened a decade ago. But just the fact that you didn't get run out of the gym, that you hung in there, that you were the better team for at least the first 20 minutes, you know, cream rises to the top. By the end of the game, you saw, like, yeah, UNC, you know, they are a little bit better. But just the fact that you hung in there is big time for the Cougars. And the messaging from Pat Kelsey before the game, during the game, they look at this as that opportunity. That regardless of the outcome against UNC, you look at that as a sales pitch, a recruiting pitch, an infomercial. It's like when you go on vacation, you ever take one of those trips where it's like a free trip, but then you have to listen to like an hour presentation about a timeshare, right? And you think like, ah, it's worth it. We won't actually buy anything. We'll just go for the vacation. That's kind of like this, right? Like you go for the vacation, but the real thing, they're trying to pitch you on buying some sort of timeshare. You think it's about the vacation. That's all just, that's eyewash just to get you there for the sales pitch. Same idea last night. You think that's about going and winning a basketball game and beating UNC. And of course, the Cougars wanted to win the game. But what that really is about is helping to put the program on the map. National TV, sold-out crowd, hung in there against a top 20 team, and Pat Kelsey starts his halftime. By the way, he did the same thing with a post-game press conference, starts by talking about the environment. Not the X's and O's, not the game, this and that. He gets to that, but he starts off by saying, what an environment, this is great, essentially saying, you have to be here. Whether you're a fan in the area or you're a high school player at home watching thinking, yeah, I do have to be there. I have to be part of that. That's a big-time win last night for the Cougars, even though they lost in the box score. Coming up, we will get into the college football playoff rankings. Not much changed last night. But with that said, who's the winner in all this? The loser? And which team's going to be left out as we head into the final weeks of the college football season with, so far, not much change at the top? Also coming up, you know, of course, Shane Beamer being linked to Virginia Tech. What's the better job, Virginia Tech or South Carolina? Just for a hypothetical scenario. Get to all that coming up. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Starry nights, sunny days, I always thought that love should be that way. Then comes a time that you realize
coming up, we got the latest college football playoff rankings last night. Not much change. What changes will there be the rest of the way? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. I was watching some of the coverage from the college football playoff rankings, the breakdown and everything. I saw Desmond Howard, when he was on TV, you know, from his home office, he had one vinyl record behind him. And it was Genesis, Invisible Touch, which is a great album. And I recognize it just by the cover of the album, right? You have that hand that's on the screen, that like orangey hand. And I said, that's a Genesis album. That's Invisible Touch. And I was surprised. I wouldn't picture Desmond Howard as a Genesis guy. And it's a great album, right? It starts with Invisible Touch. And then Tonight, Tonight, Tonight. And then you get Land of Confusion, which is probably my favorite song ever done by Genesis. Great album. Throwing It All Away is on side two. Good stuff. That's a great album to have. But if you had to pick one album, I'm surprised. I was surprised. Desmond Howard, an Invisible Touch Genesis guy, came out in June of 86. Which, by the way, I know I'm not that old. Desmond Howard doesn't seem that old, right? How old was he in 86? So that's a, you know, I was surprised to have one album. He was 16 when that album came out. Pretty good. But also, I think part of it is that I do like all of the older style music, more so than maybe some of my buddies or kids my own age. So the people I'm around, I think that's what throws me off. The people I'm around usually don't know the music like a Genesis Invisible Touch. So when I see somebody else have that album, right, I'm conditioned now to think like, oh, wow, Invisible Touch Genesis, that's pretty cool. When, of course, that was a big album back in the day. But Desmond Howard, if you said Desmond Howard has one vinyl record behind him, what band does it come from? I don't think I would have gone Genesis. But that's a good pull by the Heisman winner. So the playoff rankings came out last night. Played out exactly as I'm sure we all thought. Certainly as I said on the show yesterday. Right, that the top seven will stay the same. Obviously, you drop Oklahoma out, and all I would have done, and this is what the committee did, was just bump everybody up. You don't need to move them all around. But bump up Notre Dame, bump up Oklahoma State, move Oklahoma out of the top 10, and that's it. And your work's done for the week. And it's interesting how people point out that Cincinnati, the lone undefeated team, is also outside of the top four. The one undefeated team outside of Georgia, right? But the one other undefeated team is not in the top four. But we've talked about Cincinnati ad nauseum. In fact, the debate usually for when people say Cincinnati should be in the playoff, and you ask, well, why do you think that? The only things they point to is because, right, oh, the group of five always gets screwed. Yeah, but that's not really making the case for Cincinnati. Tell me why this specific team this year should be in the playoff. And people say, oh, they never given a chance. Okay, but again, that's not really making the case for this football team. That's more about, you know, how the whole process works. But why should this specific team, what have you seen from them that shows you they are one of the four best teams in the country? And then maybe people point to, well, they beat Notre Dame. Great win, absolutely. But what about the rest of the schedule? Right, because they don't really have any other impressive victories. And there's other teams in the top 10 that have more than one good win that will outdo Cincinnati's. But we've reached the point now where this time of year, history tells us, based off of the last playoff rankings and the playoffs in the last few years in college football since we went to this style of crowning a champion, that three of the four teams at this point will make the playoff. We usually don't get a ton of change at the end of the season. Now, this year has been very chaotic, so maybe this will be an outlier. But usually, once we reach this point of the season, where we're down to the final 2 weeks in conference championships, we usually don't get very much change. Because by this point, you know, that right, the best teams are the best teams. They continue to win their games. One or two will slip up. There are some rivalry games. There are some big games left on the schedule, conference championships. But usually, at this point, if you're in the top four right now, history tells us you have a 75% chance of making it. So my question would be, who's the one team most likely to miss out? Well, there are a few options. We could have some chaos this year because, of course, you have Alabama has to play Georgia in the SEC title game. And I don't know if we'll get a two-loss Alabama team in the playoff if they lose that game. So that's an elimination game. Do we believe Alabama could get past Georgia? Then you have Oregon, who's going to have to play Utah probably twice. They still have to play them in the regular season. Then they'll have to play them in the conference championship. Can they beat Utah twice? Then you have Ohio State, who has to play Michigan State and then Michigan. Right? What if they lose one of those two games? So there's still the opportunity for some change. Which one of those teams could be the most likely to miss out? Well, let's first look in at Alabama and a potential two-loss Alabama team. I have felt that if they lose to Georgia and it's a close game, right, then you have a three-point loss to Texas A&M, who is ranked, and you have, let's just say, a three-point loss again. Let's say they play Georgia real close. Right, a three-point loss to the number one team, and they're already number two. Could that drop them? A one-possession loss to the number one team in the country, could that drop them from two to, say, number five and out of the playoff? I'm not so sure. But last night we did get some comments from the committee when they said 2, 3, and 4 was an area where the conversation was longer. There was good conversation about where Alabama, Oregon, and Ohio State should be placed. So it seems like the gap is closing between those teams and that Alabama, this thought process of Alabama getting in with two losses may not be as strong as it was.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll get back into the college football playoff rankings coming up later on. Plus, this whole Shane Beamer, Virginia Tech, maybe nothing more than a hypothetical, but what's the better opportunity? Just hypothetically speaking, South Carolina or Virginia Tech? Hey, we got some teams that are trying to go win a state championship in football this weekend and in the next couple of weeks here. Joining us now is head coach Michael Nelson, head coach of Holly Hill Academy, as they try to go back-to-back this weekend when they take on Andrew Jackson Academy this weekend in the championship. And Coach Nelson's with us now. Coach, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you? Doing well.
Yeah, we're doing well as well. Appreciate the time. So, you know, are you ready for the big game? This is eight-man football. For those unfamiliar, we caught up with Coach Nelson a year ago. Holly Hill Academy undefeated in the championship once again. You got Andrew Jackson Academy coming up this weekend. I'm sure you're still putting on the finishing touches, getting ready for that game. But here on Wednesday, you guys ready to go for this championship this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're still preparing. We're still analyzing film and getting our final details together for our game plan. But our boys are confident, and we know we're going to have a tough battle, so we're excited.
Yeah, it was one of the closest games you had this year when you played Andrew Jackson earlier. Their only loss was to you. You beat them a couple weeks ago. So for this matchup, you know, go back to the last time you played them, and you came out on top. How do you like how you match up against this team?
Yeah, it's big boy on big boy. We're both heavy run teams, both very, very physical in the trenches. You know, we lost our top defensive lineman and one of our offensive linemen, same guy, last week to a torn MCL and ACL, so it's going to be next man up. That's going to hurt us. But, you know, we've had some broken collarbones and some close contact COVID exclusions this year too, so it's always been next man up with this team, and they're truly a band of brothers, and they'll step up and get the job done.
Yeah, you mentioned COVID. Obviously, you know, last football season seemed to be more chaotic for everybody. This year, I'm sure it still had an impact. What was it like for you as a coach getting through this season this year, still during a pandemic?
Yeah, we luckily didn't miss any games. And, you know, like I said, we had a couple of close contacts, but none of our kids actually had it. And a good portion of our team got vaccinated, and they wanted to be there and not be have to worry about COVID. So, you know, 12-0 and excited to hopefully get one more.
Yeah. So now you take on Andrew Jackson Academy. As mentioned, you already played them. So when you go up the second time, do you have to mix things up, or do you go out there and just try to play your style again? Because obviously it's been working so well for you this year.
Yeah, we're going to definitely stay true to our identity, but we also have some wrinkles that we're not afraid to use. You know, we're about 85% run, but we've also completed 75% of our passes when we do pass the ball. So people stack the box on us and dare us to pass it, and we're effective when we do. So, you know, we'll be riding our horses in the backfield. Tyler Wright, who has about 1,900 yards this year, 23 touchdowns. He's averaging about 14 yards a carry. And Marion Breland, who was out half the year with a broken collarbone, but he's got about 500, 600 yards in the season as well. So we're going to be riding those guys and behind our big boys on the line. And, you know, I'm excited.
Talking with Coach Michael Nelson of Holly Hill Academy as they get ready for the state championship this weekend. Yeah, I was going to ask you about the offense because just looking up, I haven't seen you guys play in person this year, but looking at the numbers, you've scored over 58 points in like 8 of the games this year. So I figured just by looking at the stuff, looking at the final scores, I thought maybe this was like a Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin type of offense. But from what you're describing, you've been running it on the ground, and at a high rate, you score a bunch of points. You mentioned one of your kids is averaging 14 yards per carry. So, man, you've had quite the productive offense this year.
Yeah, we have a great O-line, and Eddie Judy is our offense coordinator and does a great job with them. And, you know, a lot of these games we have running clocks in the second half due to a 40-point lead, and our starters aren't even playing. But, you know, our kids get the job done, and they're excited to get to play four quarters this Friday night.
Yeah, that's got to be interesting because, you know, you have blown out most teams this year. You guys have been really dominant. One of your toughest games was with Andrew Jackson. That's who you have this week. And, of course, it's the championship, so nobody looks past anybody in a state championship. But what is it like for a team that when you're used to blowing teams out, it's almost like Alabama, right, where you usually don't see the quarterback for Alabama by the fourth quarter. They're not used to playing in close games. What is it like as a coach for a program that wins a lot of big games, and then you got to make sure you're ready for those close ones as well?
That's right. You got to be dialed in for all 48 minutes. And, you know, sometimes when you're blowing somebody out, it's almost just as hard with a limited roster, being able to, you know, stay sportsmanlike and get guys in there and, you know, keep guys injury-free, your starters. But at the same time, those starters have got to play for when they have the big games like this. They got to be conditioned. So it's a balancing act. It's tough. But, you know, the past 3 weeks, we've finished up the season with Andrew Jackson. We had a full game there. And then last week, Patrick Henry played just about a full game there in terms of starters. So these guys are conditioned. They're ready. And we've been preparing a long time for this game.
Second-year head coach, you're undefeated. You haven't lost a game. You don't know what it's like to lose. I mean, what has this run been like for you to go here two straight years? You're trying to repeat back-to-back and haven't lost a game along the way. You've built quite the program there at Holly Hill.
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's been fun. I got a great staff around me. Like I said, Eddie Judy on the offensive side, Seth Patrick on the defensive side, and Billy Poloni and Tommy Breland also. But you know, we're just a staff effort. We're a band of brothers, both boys and coaches here, and it's just a big family. And we care about each other, and that carries us forward along a lot of the way. That's a big part of Holly Hill Academy, being a big family.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been a lot of fun as well. For you, I know second year coaching with Holly Hill Academy, but also just second year, you know, as the head coach here for football, eight-man division, as we mentioned. So I believe I asked you about this a year ago when we caught up before the state championship, but what type of adjustment was it like for you to not only, you know, be a head coach for the first time, but now eight-man football, which maybe not all football fans are familiar with this style of football. What's that like for you, that adjustment to come in with this school, this style of football, and also along the way to have so much success?
Yeah, like I said, this is my 12th year total in coaching and teaching, but you know, I've coached basketball, volleyball, and baseball on these previous years and still continue to do so. But, you know, eight-man, I went to Sumter High School, and I've never seen an eight-man game until I came here. And so it was a big learning curve this two summers ago, and I studied and learned as much as I could about the game. You know, it's tough defensively with only eight guys out there. You know, it kind of limits you. If you make one guy miss, a lot of times it's a touchdown. So defensively it's very tough, but we've had a good season, and, you know, I'm only as good as my players and my assistant coaches, so all the credit to them.
All right, before we let you go, of course, the state championship coming up against Andrew Jackson Academy. We don't want you to give away any secrets, but for you, what's like the biggest key? What's the most important part of this game Friday to get out of here with another victory and repeat back-to-back champions?
Biggest key is we're both physical, but I think we have a speed advantage. So if we can get some mismatches in the throw game, in the passing game, I think we can be successful. Also, both teams onside kick. They definitely onside kick 100% of the time. So as long as we don't give them an extra possession via special teams, I think that's a huge part of our game plan this week too, is we can't allow them to have an extra possession. So limit the turnovers and make sure they don't get extra possessions in special teams. That's going to be the keys to our victory.
They onside kick every time. Is that just for them, or is that something that's a little more common when it's 8-on-8 football?
It's been more common this year for sure. You know, we have some athletes, and if you kick it deep, a lot of times we take it to the house. So teams are just willing to give us a short field with the, you know, ability to maybe steal a possession from us. But our front guys have been doing it all year, so they're used to it. But, you know, if the teams want to give us 40 yards to score a touchdown, we'll take it as long as we secure that ball.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, last thing before we let you go, Coach. Any sort of pregame or mid-game or any sort of rituals that you have for Holly Hill Academy? Maybe part of the reason why you guys haven't lost a game in 2 years. Do you have any rituals, any traditions, any superstitions as a team?
Yeah, our assistant coach, David Walling, he likes to get the boys hyped up in the locker room. He does a little pregame ceremony with them. And state championship games, we also play In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins on the bus right there. So we get hyped on the bus. But like I said, these guys are hungry and driven. And just because they've won 24 games in a row, they don't get complacent. We talk about it all the time. Complacency is our biggest enemy, and we got to overcome that complacency hurdle. And as long as we stay hungry, I think we're going to be okay.
Well, hey, you're the official high school football team of the Morrow Midday Show, so we're all pulling for you around here. Friday night against Andrew Jackson Academy, trying to go back-to-back and not lose a game now for two straight seasons. He's Coach Michael Nelson. He's been doing a great job there. Coach, appreciate you joining us, and wish you the best of luck this weekend. Bring it home.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us, and thanks for including the little man in your show. I appreciate it.
Hey, absolutely. Anytime. Appreciate you. Michael Nelson, head coach at Holly Hill Academy. He came on the show last year, and I'm fascinated by this 8-on-8 you know, high school division. And I'm also fascinated by the fact that this is his second year. He hasn't lost a game. He's 24-0 to start his head coaching career, which is crazy. And you go back and you look, they had a losing season the year before he got there. So this isn't like, you know, somebody stepping in for Nick Saban right now and continuing to win. He took over a program that was under 500. They've gone 24-0 to begin, trying to win back-to-back championships. They blow a bunch of teams out. As you heard him, teams don't even want to kick it deep to them. They got to kick it on sides every time. They'd rather give them a short field than a kick return. They've been dominant, which is crazy for this coach to step into 8-on-8 football and immediately begin 24-0. Last year, I know it was the pandemic, right? I said last year, if they win the championship, I'll be the grand marshal at their victory parade. I'm sure I didn't get the call because of the pandemic. Right? This year, I'm sure we're in a little bit of a better spot. We can have a victory parade in Holly Hill. What else they got going on around there in Holly Hill? Huh? Holly Hill Academy football, they win this weekend. Let's throw a victory parade. I'll be the grand marshal. We'll be pulling for them against Andrew Jackson. Get Andrew Jackson out of here. Andrew Jackson, right? He wants threat in South Carolina. Go beat Andrew Jackson Academy on Friday, and let's go Holly Hill Academy. We're pulling for you on the Morrow Midday Show. Trying to win 24 straight. Good luck to Coach Michael Nelson. Appreciate him. joining us here for the second straight year. This is going to become a yearly tradition. They get ready for the state championship. He comes on the show. Hopefully they win it again this time. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Richard is with us. Richard, what's going on? How are you?
How you doing, Luke?
Good. What's up?
I just want to chime in about the eight-man football. I used to play eight-man football.
Yeah, how different was it from 11 on 11?
Yeah, so I played 11 on 11 growing up through Pee Wee, and then I got to eight-man football. My high school had eight-man football, and it's a totally different. It's just like what he's saying. So on defense, you know, you got like three linemen, and then you got to kind of figure out what you want to do with the defensive backs. If you're a little slower, you want to put some safeties in the back just so you don't get beat deep. But, yeah, usually if you make somebody miss, that's it. And, you know, a lot of your guys, if they're a real talented athlete, they play both ways. I mean, I remember waking up the next day, I had bruises all over my body. You know, you're still tired because you sweat pretty much everything out if you're playing both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough, but, I mean, we had some, like, Gaines Adams, who was a first-round draft pick. He played at, I think it was Carolina Academy or wherever Steve Tannehill coached. But, yeah, so there's some good talent there, too.
Greenwood.
Yeah, Greenwood. Yeah, but Gaines Adams played eight-man football too.
So. Okay, what did you enjoy more, eight-man football or 11-on-11?
I liked eight-man.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just for the, you know, if you had a crappy guy going against you, like on the D line, like if you were on O line, and then you switched D line to O line, you knew you had him either way.
Right, that's true.
11-on-11, they could switch him up and move a different guy around, but eight-man is pretty much those three guys stay in their same spot.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting. Appreciate it, Richard. Yeah, you know, I always look, growing up in Connecticut, we had the closest thing I could compare was, you know, like all other places, right? You have the like 7-on-7 passing league in the spring, in the off season, over the summer. That's the closest I could, but that wasn't even in pads. You're playing like flag football for that. And then I think because of the pandemic, I believe, not that it makes a difference, but I think that was their decision in Connecticut, where, of course, you know, being from Connecticut, I still see all the headlines, read the paper and everything. I think that was their idea, was to go to 8-on-8 to limit the number of people on the field during the pandemic, and that caused an uproar. So I never experienced, I still to this day have never actually seen a game, 8-on-8, so I'm very fascinated. It reminds me of almost of like arena football, where you have fewer guys on the field, and you score more, and it's more explosive, and guys are playing both ways. And I do like what Richard said about that. You know, you could really, not only can you play both ways, but you get a matchup like that. It's like in basketball, when you have to play offense and defense, and when you get matched up against a kid who, he can't guard you, and you don't have to worry about guarding him. Like, you looked forward to those games growing up as a kid in high school or whatever. Like, oh, man, I could score on him all day, and I don't have to worry about playing hard on defense. It's similar, I'm sure, in 8-on-8 when you play both ways, and you think, man, I could dominate on both lines today. This is going to be a great day.
Now, I played in a smaller school program for a while, but it was regular 11-on-11. Eight-man wasn't an option yet.
Uh-huh.
But you did, because more guys did have to play both ways, and, you know, the size of your average player wasn't as big. You did have to spend a lot more time and practice on working on your speed and conditioning and things like that. And I think more so with eight-man.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
I'm looking this up now. By the way, this is according to Wikipedia. Who knows? Connecticut apparently has one eight-man team. Why? What's the point of having one? I'm looking at all the states, the number of teams that they have. Nebraska has the most in the country, eight-man teams. And according to this list, South Carolina has only 19 eight-man teams. I don't know if that's accurate. This is just Wikipedia. But let's see. All states except 1, 2, 3, 4, about 40 states have eight-man football. But Connecticut, I grew up in Connecticut, they're not one of them, so I've never experienced it. But let me tell you, we've jumped on the bandwagon of Holly Hill Academy, and I hope they finish things off this weekend, and then we will have a nice victory parade going on where I'll be the Grand Marshal for them. 843-721-9500. Let's go back to the phones. Seabrook is with us. Seabrook, what's going on? How are you?
Yes, sir. I want to thank you for bringing on Coach Nelson with the eight-man. And we wish Holly Hill the best to repeat again. You guys, I want to kind of change the subject a little bit to 11, man.
Yeah.
You guys are a school by the name of Dutch Fork.
Uh-huh, of course.
And they're going for like 6 straight state championship. And it would be good if, just like you did the honors for Nelson, Coach Nelson.
Yeah.
That you can do the same for. I know they would appreciate the, you know, the media hype as well, you know, when you get into this rank to the state. But my question to you is, they did a lot of changes because of the COVID this year for the state games. And I wanted to know if you had any knowledge on if they're going to put the games on television, because they're coming out of Benedict College instead of Williams-Brice this year.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'll look into it for you and try to report back, but I am not sure. Do you know anything, Joe?
Well, right now it looks like all roads are going to lead to Dutch Fork and Fort Dorchester, which is our team in North Charleston, in the finals, you know, if they both went out. Both of them undefeated. Both of them are very powerful teams, well-coached.
Yeah. I know those two names even before I ever came here, especially Fort Dorchester. Do you have any idea, though, about any sort of the TV broadcast or anything? You have any insight on that?
I'm not sure. I know MyTV has shown them in the past, and I think ETV had shown them in the past, but I'm not sure yet. We need to get somebody from Channel 4 to let us know if there's any plans for that.
I'm sure there is, but I don't know. I haven't seen anything, so I can't say. 843-721-9500. Let's go back to the phones again. James is with us. James, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to make a comment about the eight-man football.
Yeah.
The great state Steve Tannehill from South Carolina coached eight-man football for a while, and I'm not sure if he's still with it, but I think he was in the upstate coaching eight-man football. I don't know if you have any knowledge about that.
Greenwood Christian, I'm told. Yeah, he was coaching at Greenwood Christian.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he still is coaching. But that's interesting. You have a former Gamecock quarterback get into coaching the eight man, and if you get a coach like that running things, those eight man football games seem like they have the possibility to be really high scoring, just like Michael Nelson's team. So you know, you get somebody like Tannehill running the offense for you, you could be real productive, I'm sure. We'll wrap up hour one next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up hour one here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio with Michael McDonald's Best Work. Appreciate the time from Michael Nelson last segment. Head coach of Holly Hill Academy, their eight-man team that they're trying to repeat, go back-to-back, win the state championship Friday night against Andrew Jackson Academy and extend their winning streak to what would be, what, 25 straight to begin his coaching career there. Crazy. That game, in case you're interested, Friday night. Joe, you said Calhoun Academy?
Yeah, it's at Calhoun Academy in St. Matthews, which is south of Columbia.
So if you are, if you got nothing else going on Friday night, you want to go watch some high-profile 8-on-8 football, the state championship, there you go, coming up this weekend. We'll be pulling for you, Coach Nelson.
Oh, by the way, Coach Nelson texted me back, and he said, absolutely, you could be the Grand Marshal if they have
right.
a parade if they win.
Damn straight. Looking forward to it. Go get that win. Andrew Jackson, come on. What did Andrew Jackson? He was the president in like 1820s. What have you done for me lately? Nothing. Let's go Holly Hill Academy. And I like having Coach Nelson on and talking eight-man football because, you know, I always consider us kind of the little guys around here. People take our College of Charleston tickets yesterday, right? We're the little guys around here. So I like shining the light on. People may focus on 11-on-11. Don't sleep on the 8-on-8 and Holly Hill Academy. Hope they go win Friday. Plus, Phil Collins in the air tonight, right? We got two Phil Collins references in hour one. I'm all for it. Hour two coming up next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
All right, clear.